Well, good morning, and it's good to be here with each one of you this morning, and thank you, Eric, for what you shared, and really appreciate that. It's been a real blessing for the last, how many weeks, or I don't know, it's probably going a month now I've been able to work for Cleon, and it's been a pleasure to do that. But in the meantime, I had the option to work with quite a few different people. We had this party coming in and doing this on the they're at the job site, and then the next one comes in. It's very varying from Mexican to Joe Wanger to you name it. So it's very interesting to watch people come in and see what they're about. And in watching that, I was made to think the main contractor there that's kind of building everything and is, I believe, Joe Wanger. Very interesting to watch that. Come there dressed in their Joe Wanger clothing, you know, suspenders, and you know, they look great. But how deep does it really go? How deep does it really go? And most of them every day they smoke. I'm going to say like chimneys. I was very shocked to see that. I mean, I know some of that happens in those, or can happen in those circles. But I was very shocked to see that. And their language, I was very shocked by that as well. You know, different times that I worked with them and their reactions to something that happens or something goes wrong or, you know, a lot of time you don't see it like from a distance that it looks good. But then when you're there working with them and, you know, they're smoking and chewing and their language is just not godly. You're like, how deep does it really go? And so I was looking at, you know, watching all the different individuals and seeing this and was made to think, what causes that? It's definitely not what I would foresee as somebody that's on fire for God or loves God with all their heart. And so where my mind went with that, and it's been kind of thinking over it a little bit here and there over the last couple weeks and since I've been working there, and where my mind went was serving God or religion. And pray that God can give me the wisdom and the words here to speak. What is religion? What is religion to you? I looked up the word religion, and the word religion, the meaning of that, a personal set or institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. The service and worship of God or the supernatural, commitment or devotion to religious faith or observance, the state of religious. And I realized that it's very possible and quite frankly very easy to claim to be a part of a certain religion or a certain church, but how deep does it really go? So I'm going to ask for a couple, if any, ideas. What does a man that is following religion rather than God look like? You know, obviously I think I got a fairly good picture of it on the job site, but what does that look like? What does a man like that look like? Just real quick, anybody have any input in that?
Probably depends how religious they are. Mm-hmm. Some even cult religions are very careful and strict to do the right thing. I talked to a Hindu fellow, and I questioned him about his faith because I believe it's good that people are forced to testify about their faith and think about it. He was very he was very dedicated, and his faith had taught him a lot of good things. And I'm sure he had flat spots too. So mm-hmm. depends how religious they are.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So that's the real religion, actually serving God. And I think it relates to a little bit of what Eric was saying about belief having an effect. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have not just an effect on the outside or just the external things, but all every part of our life.
That's right.
I like that verse because visiting the fatherless and the orphans and the widows, visiting them, implies that nobody else really knew that you did it. Mm-hmm. And the hallmark of religion is doing things that people will see. Mm-hmm. You know, a religious person doesn't usually do the right things that others don't see. They usually will focus on things that people see. And so if I want to ask myself, am I being religious or am I serving God? That's probably a pretty good question. I think that's what that verse implies. Are you doing things for God that nobody else sees, that nobody pats you on the back for, that nobody's, mm-hmm. you know, that are you doing things because they're right?
Right.
That's the key marker of somebody that's serving God versus serving religion.
Mm-hmm. Jordan.
I think religion and serving God, the difference is if from your heart, from a true experience with Christ, and from the inside, it starts coming out on the outside, and now your life, people can see what's in the inside. Mm-hmm. That would be the true serving of Christ. Mm-hmm. But if in the inside there is nothing, and just I see around, okay, this is how I need to look, or this is how I need to dress, mm-hmm. and now people just see the dress, but I guess if it's not coming from the inside, there's going to be a difference. Like you mentioned, that maybe some of these people, when they go to the church, they're not saying bad words, or they're not doing tobacco inside of the church, maybe. But now they go outside, and that's who they really are, because it's mm-hmm. not an inside thing. It's just an outside thing.
That's right. And I have a couple of things here that I put down here that seem apparent to me. One thing that's very comes to my mind foremost, very front and foremost, is he's going to lack the power of God in his life. He's going to be depending on his religion, his list of things. What does it say? His system, religious attitudes, his practices. He's going to be relying on that to keep him going. And it's definitely not going to be a stable person. So he's going to lack the power of God in his life. And I see the tendency. Thank you, Titus. Also see the tendency here. If you got your practices, your system, I believe this individual is going to be one that's going to add and take away as he pleases. He can add something because it's going to make him feel better about his life. Or he can take away if it doesn't make him feel good. This is going to be a man of hypocrisy, living a double life, acting and speaking godly when necessary to protect his reputation and his system or his practices. This is going to be a man that will trust in himself and how well he performs. It's going to be a person that is seeking the approval of others rather than God. And at the same time, deceiving themselves into thinking that they're really living after God. I could see this also being a person who will live in the moment, doing those things that appeal to the flesh or whatever feels good. And that's something that the fellows at the job site, you know, they're out on the job site, they're away from their practices, their religion, if you will. And there's nothing holding them back. They're doing what feels good to them. They have their rock, their country music blaring, you know, at the same time. Where is the depth? This person here is also one that I see, for the most part, is going to lack peace and happiness and contentment in their life. They might find short periods of happiness, you know, when they really performed well. They come to church and they dress just perfect. They go to sing at the old people's home, maybe. But then it's over. Then the feeling's over until the next Sunday or the next time they come in contact with that. They want to make sure and impress. So we can dress right. We can go to church. We can participate in every church function possible. But when I say these things, I'm not downing these things. I'm just saying we can find protection and in these things and deceive ourselves into thinking that we are really living right. We can participate in every church function possible, but in the end, if we don't have a relationship with God, all these things are worthless. Religion in itself will not sustain us when we are faced with tough circumstances or temptation, but our faith and our hope, faith, hope, and love in our Creator, God, will sustain us. And I just wanted to back up here. I want to read 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You know, there's a lot of these things here that we can say, oh well, I don't do that. I don't love my money. I'm not proud. You know, there's a whole lot of different ones there we could say. But then you get down through into verse 4. Are we headstrong sometimes? I think there's a lot of times that we're, a lot of those things that we are sometimes, we don't even realize it. But What I really want to pull out of there is in verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So this person here that is putting their trust and following religion instead of God is going to be one of these people having a form of godliness, but they're going to lack the power. And people like that are dangerous. They're deceiving themselves into thinking that they're following God, and also at the same time portraying that they are something that they're not to other people, and it looks good when it's empty. It's emptiness. So what do people see in me? What do people see in us? They see a person or an individual, a churchgoer, who professes religion but makes provision for the flesh, but really deep down in their heart, they're not any different than somebody else out in the world that's just living it up, not hiding anything, just going for it. Whatever pleases them, that's what they do. Really not any difference. Or do they see a changed person that is from a different kingdom with a different set of values and overflowing with the love of God and what God has done in their heart? And this here is something that I had pulled from elsewhere. It's not original with me, but when you have true religion, you don't try to seem religious. You don't try to act like you're something that you're not. You act as you are, which is a new creation. Am I a new creation in Christ that is... Is it visible on the outside that I'm a new creation in Christ? Or do the people see us, you know, okay, we go to church, well, he's Mennonite, or he's this, or he's, you know, I don't care what church you want to put in there. But then when they see us on the job site, or they see us on the road, or whatever, do our actions, do our words, does our music portray Christ and what he's done in our lives? I'm going to just turn to James here. I know Daryl already, James 1, verse 26 and 27. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So that there I see as an individual who is not portraying any kind of taste of the world and what the world has to offer. What do we take joy in? Or what are we trying to go after? And I had to think when Clayton was saying about visiting the orphans and the widows in their trouble, and I had to think that children is one thing that's very close or very near and dear to God's heart. And so that's very, I thought it was very interesting. I thought about when he said that, you know, that person obviously is going to be close to God because the children are near and dear to God. It's going to be obvious that we are following after God. I'm going to turn over to James 3. Uh, 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Are we seeking the wisdom that is from above? Are we showing, do we have good fruits flowing from us or through us? Or are we hypocrites, living one thing all week long, but then Sunday then we're portraying something that we're not? And, you know, for me, it's something it's easy to say, well, that's those guys, that's whoever. But I think a lot of times we fail to realize the danger, how close the danger actually is to us each and every day. It's easy to let our guards down, you know, depending where we are and who we're around. We want to let the guards down and try to fit in. That's not going to work. It's going to take us down. James, we'll read James 4, 7 to 10. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So here, again, are we drawing near to God? Are we purified through him? And back to the man who's following religion. This person here, like I said, is going to be one that's a hypocrite. He's going to be glorying, like I said, in how well he performed. And I see this person as not being very humble or broken before God. And here it says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And now, what does the man who is following God look like? Does anybody want to give any input in that? If not, that's okay.
Well, I think it goes back to the, along with what Eric was saying, that, you know, the real believing, how do we know if we really believe? Mm-hmm. You know, is it just that empty, like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and then live your life, or is it a real believing, real faith produces change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, produces work. So I believe that's what he's saying there, when he's talking about faith and work. He said, if you say you have faith, but you don't see any change, how can you call it faith? It's not faith. It's not real. It's not a true belief. But when you believe, when you accept, all of the things, like he said, the whole Bible, all that Jesus taught us, and it's a true belief, a true faith, is just submitting to those things. It's surrendering to,
mm-hmm,
what Jesus taught.
Mm-hmm.
And it's It's laying aside what I want and accepting and submitting myself to what Jesus said. And it'll change your whole life.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to produce a change in all your actions. Like you said, how many different areas of life you see it coming out when someone is not really believing, when someone is not submitting to Jesus. You see it come out in every area. But on the other hand, when it's a true belief, you see a person who used bad language, who talk filthy, and their speech becomes clean. Their words become words of blessing. You see them, you know, where they were in bondage to self, serving, you know, addictions. You see freedom. You see the chains being broken. You see them coming free from that bondage. You know, it changes so many things.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a real, true belief.
That's right.
I was reading this morning about how Moses was preparing the Israelites to take over Canaan. And I think that's, in some ways, sort of a picture of what salvation can look like. And God said, I'm going to do this gradually over time. It's not going to happen in a day or a week or a month or a year. And I think there are certain situations where God does give radical change overnight. But really, I think the reality of most of our Christian lives is a gradual growth. And so I think we should also, in addition to expecting to see change, we should also have grace, because God sometimes takes time to walk people on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not where I need to be yet, but by God's grace, I'm moving on that journey and gradually conquering Canaan with his help.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to kind of not by any means underestimating or minimizing God's power to create change, to also for us to have grace when maybe not all the fruits of the Spirit all the time show up in every Christian, but we should be seeing growth.
That's right. Okay. Thank
if
you.
I could just say a little
yep,
thing.
Go ahead.
Earlier you said that these people believe they're following God. Or I doubt that they do. Looking at my own experience, they have a desperate hope that being a Joe Wanger or being a religious person will be enough to see them in the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't consider what they're talking about or not, but they depend in their church affiliation or their church membership as being a ticket into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that God will overlook these things because they're what they are. And sometimes we fall prey to that too. If we just convince the people, there's a good testimony that we're a Christian, surely we are then.
Mm-hmm.
When the mark of that true believer is when rest comes to his heart. I don't think it's easy to believe. It's easy to believe in our heads, but the Bible talks about believing. It's all about true believing. And the Bible instructs us to labor. The Bible says the work of God is to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says we should labor and enter into the rest, lest we fall after the same example of unbelief. In Hebrews, we talk about that, or we cease from our own works. And so I just see that the mark of a believer is when he gets the rest that only the Holy Spirit will bring.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what he's doing on the outside. I mean, yeah, it will have an effect on that, but
mm-hmm.
Every man has to examine his own heart and make his own calling election sure. and forget trying to convince myself that I'm a believer because I convinced everybody else. God looks straight to the heart. So, anyhow, that's something I wanted to say earlier, but that mark of a true believer is when the rest of the Holy Spirit comes on my life. And that only comes when I surrender. And that continues only as I continue to surrender and walk in obedience to God. But now it's not a labor anymore because it's written on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit gives me the power to walk in it.
Thank you for that. So kind of what I have down here is, what does a man who is following God look like? A man who is following God will have a relationship with God and pursue that relationship on a daily basis. He's going to experience the power of God in his life on a regular basis. You know, when he's faced with temptation, when he's tempted to fit in with the surroundings where he is, the people he's around, he's going to have the power of God in his life to be able to stand against that. And having that relationship with God, it's going to be a strength and a stability to him. It's going to be this individual's utmost desire to walk in obedience to God and to his word. His thoughts and actions and choices are going to consistently reflect God and the power of God. This individual will have a true religion that is an outworking of a much deeper work that God has done and will continue to do in his heart. As long as you keep that relationship flowing between you and God. Ephesians 2. Verse 1 through 10. Yes. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in love. Walk in them. So we hear it's nothing that we do, but it's what Christ has done for us if we allow him to flow through us. God created us to bring honor and glory to him. Psalms 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So no matter what we try to do as far as you know, good deeds or what kind of religion we try to follow or whatever it might be, there's nothing we can do that's going to get us into heaven. We need to have that relationship with God. Our foundation needs to be in God. It needs to, our temple, our house needs to be built by the Lord. Matthew 5. Verse 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So what are people seeing around me? Am I being a light to them? Are they seeing an individual that's filled with the power of God, that's living in victory? Or do they see us trying to prop ourselves up with religion and all the things pertaining to it? Romans 8:35-39. This here is speaking of the power and the strength that we have with God if we are following God and have that relationship with God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this relationship and this strength that we find in God, it goes deeper than just a putting on. This is founded in a relationship with God on a daily basis, and finding our strength to overcome and to live in his will. So let's pursue a relationship with God. Let's seek God for wisdom, seek God for strength. We need each other as brothers, you know, to help each other along the way. We can't rely on those around us necessarily, what they think or how they think we should live. But the power of God and a relationship with God is something that, as long as we are sold out to him, is something that is always going to be there. He's always going to be there for us. And in closing, I have a quote here that I come across. It was not original with me. Religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing. Relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. Is God... Do we take God with us wherever we go? You know, when we're on the job site, away from everybody else that we know, people that don't have any clue who we are, is God in our forethought? Or are we seeking to please Him even when we're by ourselves? Nobody else sees it. So let's pursue God and His power, and He will be with us. God bless you.